We shall read from the Word of God as it is found in the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I shall begin reading at verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them and worship you, them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. But as I say, we're going to look, God willing, at the whole chapter. I was rather expecting this evening to find a lot of young people here. Excuse me? Oh. As I was saying, I was expecting to see a lot of young people here tonight. Well, there are some, and I'm very glad that you're here. I say that because last New Year's Eve, I was in my son's church in England, and like many churches in England, where the gospel is preached, you find on this particular night, it's overflowing with young people. And that is the same also to a large extent in Greece, even in the Greek Orthodox churches. You know, it's very interesting that the Greek Orthodox Church has never changed liturgy since the 3rd century AD. It's exactly the same for all these running centuries, and the churches are filled with young people. The reason I was hoping there'd be young people here is because it's interesting to notice that the congregation that Moses was addressing on this particular occasion, we're just looking at a part of the sermon. It's one of the greatest sermons ever preached. You should read all of it. The congregation, thousands upon thousands of them, encamped on the east side of the River Jordan, waiting to go into the Promised Land, was largely a youthful congregation. The oldest will be 60, you remember. And then you can go backwards. The majority would be in their 30s, even more young people and children. This was the congregation to which he preached, a youthful congregation. And they had wandered, some of them, for 40 years in the wilderness. And for the most of them, that was all they had known. Most of them were born after the people of Israel came out of Egypt. Most of them had never been at Sinai. They'd been born in the wilderness. And this was the life they knew. There's a description of the wilderness in which they lived all their lives. Listen to some of the descriptions. A land of the wilderness, a land of deserts and of pits, a land of drought and the shadow of death, a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. That was the wilderness. Another description, a great and terrible wilderness where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water. Now this was the place where the majority of the people there had lived as long as they could ever remember. This is the life they knew. They had heard about Egypt, of course, and the great deliverance that God made for the children of Israel to bring them out with mighty power. The miracles they did, they heard about that, they never saw them. And they had heard of Sinai, And how God had visited his people and made covenant with his people and given them the law. They had heard these things, but the majority of them had not been there. And they had heard of the promised land that they should now be in. But their fathers had disobeyed God and rebelled and lacked courage and faith. And they were not allowed to enter in. And they were told now for 40 years to match the amount of days that Moses was in Sinai. For 40 years you shall go up and down in the wilderness. And that was the experience of these young people all their lives. The only place they knew was the wilderness. I wonder what they thought about that. I wonder what they thought of their parents. Why are we living in this kind of place? Why do we have to go through all these things? What did you do? We should be in the promised land. And here we are. I wonder what the parents said to them. I often think about that myself. We've brought up children, and to some extent grandchildren. What do they really think of us? We tell them certain things, we instruct them, we make sure they're instructed. But do they see that we live it? Do they see that this is the most important thing in our lives? Or do they just see, well, it's like this in church, we go there and they say all these things, but really the way they live doesn't match up to what we profess to believe. Well, a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? For the young people here, this evening I will ask this question. If you had been living in the wilderness at that particular time, walking up and down in the wilderness, what would you have thought? What would your response have been to all that? Well, the most wonderful thing is this, that this was the generation, these young people that had wandered up and down in the wilderness and suffered all these things, this was the generation that reached the highest level, perhaps, that Israel ever reached. In Jeremiah we read this, that God says to Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of these people. Why are you living as you do? Why are you disobeying me? Why do you break my laws? Why is there no justice? What about the widows and the orphans? How can you live like this? What have I done to you that you've turned away from me? But I, because I remember the kindness of thy youth. And you're referring to these Jews, these young people in the wilderness. I remember the kindness of your youth, the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits. Of his grace. Now this is a description of them. These were people that began to love the Lord and wanted to serve him. You know, I don't know whether you realize, but we are living in a time of apostasy in the Christian church. I'll be speaking about that tomorrow, and the great need of revival. But the situation is absolutely serious. And there's a great opportunity now for the young people to be different than the past generations. is to love the Lord, to follow Him, to take things seriously, to say, I will give my life to God, I will give my life to Christ. Be my Savior, my Lord and my God, here I am, I will serve you all my days. That's what we want. A great movement of the Spirit among the young people to come to a decision in this terrible situation which we find ourselves. We are going to stand for Jesus Christ. Well, let's look a little bit at the sermon. It begins by God calling upon them, young and old. And of course, the word comes to us today, also this evening, does it not? Hear, O Israel, every command which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live. Now this sermon has been on for some time. It goes back beginning in verse 6, or part of it in verse 6, in chapter 6 rather. And here it's put like this. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that God may multiply you and bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them to your children, and you shall talk with them. Well, this is the word of God to us this evening. It begins with this: obey, listen, obey, hearken to the word of God. Make it the center of your life. Love God and keep His commandments. And then he looks at the past. He reminds these people of two things, and they're very important for us as well. He says, remember how I led you. I have led you all these 40 years. And I humbled you. And I fed you with manna. You didn't know what it was. In the Hebrew it means, what is it? And that's how he nourished them. That's how he fed them. He fed them in the wilderness to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the second thing he said was this: I humbled you and led you into the wilderness these 40 years to see what was in your heart, whether you would love the Lord or no. As we look back, these are the things that we should consider. That word is here, consider. How all these years the Lord has led you. So we can look back on our lives. And our sovereign God, in His love, mercy and grace, has led us all these years. And He humbles us. He brings us into certain circumstances which we would not have chosen, which perhaps we did not expect, and He brought us over and over again into a place of need, He brought us into situations which we couldn't resolve, from which we can find no way of escape. And so we were brought into dependence upon God. This is how we should live all the time. In complete dependence upon God. That's why this word is given. The man does not live by bread alone. Now you remember how that was exemplified in the temptations when Jesus was brought into the wilderness. And he was there 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. And the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And do you remember what Jesus said? He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, every reply to Satan is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. He was putting himself under the law. He was God's servant. He was not going to be Satan's servant. And he said this, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In other words, God can keep us alive without food, if so he wish. He gives us food and raiment and houses. But we're utterly dependent upon God. And this is a great lesson in life to learn. And indeed we're told that when Satan fled, angels came and gave bread to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing he says is this, that God brings things into our lives, deals with us in such a way that we're placed in a situation in which we have to decide whether we're going to follow God or no, whether we're going to obey God or no. Now, as you look back, you may be able to think of certain times when this has taken place. It faces young people all the time. Perhaps it faces us a lot in the days of our youth. Suddenly a situation, maybe with friends, a sudden temptation, an attraction to a certain person, perhaps. And then there's a great question. I'm being tested. This is the situation in which it becomes clear whether I'm going to obey God or no, whether I am going to deny myself and take up my cross and suffer, or whether I'm going to get in. And God said, "I was testing you all this time." But notice this, consider this. The chastisement is only an indication of my fatherly love. You remember how the writer of the Hebrews puts it, "Whom the Father loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives." These people in the wilderness were fed with bread. They were given water from the rock. Their clothes didn't wear out upon them, and their feet did not swell. All these indications of God's providential care of them. Look back, my friends, tonight. Look at your whole life. Think about it and notice those two things. How God has dealt with you in leading you and guiding you and sustaining you. And he has tested you to see whether you love him or no. These people were now to come into the promised land. And he gives a description of it. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths, and springs out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive oil and honey. Sounds like the place where I live. Sounds like Greece. This is a perfect description of where we live. And they were to come into this land. And God says, when you come there, you will prosper. I am going to give you prosperity. And then he gives a warning to them. When you find yourself in this situation, be careful, he says, that your hearts are not lifted up with pride. But he says something before that. He says, when you come into the land and I give you all these things, bless God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And what I say to you this evening, if God has prospered you, and indeed has prospered all of you when you think of how the majority of the people are living in this world, when God has prospered you, be thankful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Is there such gratitude in your heart? You know, when I go out on the balcony of the house in which I live in Greece, this house which God has given us, and I look over the olive trees and the fir trees and the pines, and I see the blue Aegean and deserted islands floating in the distance, and this sky so pure it seems permeated with light. And here I am, and I thank God that he's given me a house, given me a place to live, that he's taken care of me, that he's blessed me. Our hearts should be full of gratitude to God. Our life should be a life of thankfulness. And so often it's a life of complaining and anxiety, discontent. And God warns his people, beware that your hearts are not lifted up with pride. And you say, I have done this. My strength and the work of my hands have given me all this. And we forget that we're utterly dependent upon God. And if I have anything at all, it is God alone who has given it to me. But we can be lifted up with pride. It's very difficult to live in dependence upon God for your daily bread when you've money to go and buy it. It's very difficult to keep that way of thinking that I'm utterly dependent upon God until God suddenly takes it all away. This happened to many people. All the money was in the bank and they lost everything. They couldn't pay their mortgages out in the streets. There's a man on the island, I know he's a doctor, and he has houses all over the world, and he's got one in Florida. And he belongs to the yacht club. And he's quite astonished. What happens in America? Couldn't imagine America. This could happen in America. There are these people that used to dine with him at the yacht club, and they're going to Christian churches to find a meal. They've lost everything. It's so easy to think that, well, I've worked hard. And you see other people that don't have what you have and say, well, you know, you can see they didn't really work very hard. They were not diligent. But why is it that I was diligent? Where did that come from? It wasn't from me. The fact that I was diligent and worked hard, or I had the intelligence and could do things and prosper, it's entirely because of God. And why God didn't give it to the other fellow is not my concern. Bless the Lord for all his benefits. Give thanks to him for all the blessings we enjoy. And devote ourselves to him. And love him and keep his commandments, lest we forget God. And we worship idols, the things that we have accomplished, the reputation I have got, the good things that people say about me, the admiration that I receive. And we are seduced into forgetting God. And you know this. We're all passing through this world. We're all in this wilderness situation. God is testing us, trying us, to see whether indeed we are the true children of God. And he's doing that in order to bring us to the promised land. It's not here for us. It's in the world to come. And the older we get, the more heavenly minded we should become. Living for another world. I wonder how many years I've got left. When I was 70, I asked God, would he give me 10 more years of strength of mind and of body? And he's abundantly answered that. Will he give me more? Do I have just a year and a half left? I do not know. It doesn't really matter, you know. Because this is not my rest. This is not my home. I've got an inheritance in the heavens, of which God is the builder and maker. Treasures in heaven. How much treasure you've got in heaven? I'll tell you how you can know. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you're not occupied with various things that you need to be occupied with, your work or whatever it is, when your mind is free, where do your thoughts go? That's the test. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're traveling to eternity. And we have the fellowship of one another to encourage one another. We have the preaching of the word. We have our families to teach, to guide, to pray for. One of the greatest things I've discovered in old age is that I got plenty of time to pray. I also had, before that, plenty of time, but I didn't use it aright. Now I'm beginning, finally, to learn a little bit about prayer. It's a joy for me, you know, when I can turn away from other things and take a walk and pray. Or just go into my room and pray. And have fellowship with God. It's the greatest joy that we can have in this world. Union and communion with Jesus Christ. And he gives us time to find it. Well then, look back. Look at yourself now. Make the resolution. You must go from this church with an intention to change. Otherwise, we're not listening to the word of God. And you must see Examine yourself to see how you must change. And life is short. And soon it will be over. The promised land that awaits all those who with Christ journey to it in obedience to his word. Amen.